another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad to have you with us today on a beautiful Sunday, or rather a Saturday. I was going to say summer program. And we got a great show for you today. We're always talking about discipleship and we're talking about evangelization and the good things that are happening in the Twin Cities in the Catholic Church, which there's always good things. There's never a shortage of good things happening. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about vocations for a little bit with Father David Bloom. He's going to join us in a little bit and talk to us about what's happening with a special event coming up that you might be interested in. Maybe your grandkids would be interested in. We want to let you know about that, so get your pencil out, get ready to write some information down. I also want to talk just briefly about the funeral yesterday at the cathedral in St. Paul of Philando Castile, and I was there. It was an amazing event, and a great show of ecumenical spirit, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Very, very moving. And, of course, that got national coverage. What happened in the Twin Cities with the death of Philando Castile affected the whole country and affected the world. We're living in difficult times right now, aren't we? Just last night in Nice, in France, 84 dead and many, many injured, and over 50 children injured. As someone with a truck purposely ran over people, and there were rumors of gunshots after that. The guy that did this was killed. But it's all too often now, and I'm wondering if it's going to become so common that people are just going to ask, well, what happened yesterday? And it doesn't shock us anymore. And I want to encourage you today, or should I say warn you, as I warn myself, never get into a complacent place where we just consider this the new norm. And it should always shock us when people, the innocent, are killed, when people are dying. It should shock us. As a Bible teacher for many, many years, you know, we talk about those characters in the Bible that live for 600 years, 700 years, 512 years, you know, a long time. And modern people that read the Bible will say, well, that sounds a little wild that somebody would live 544 years. And they're shocked that the Bible speaks of people living this long. And what I like to point out is you're shocked over the wrong thing. You're shocked that people are living 500 years. That is not the thing to be shocked about. The thing to be shocked about is that people are dying, is that people's lives are coming to an end. That's what should move us. That should shock us. And in today's world, it should shock us that people are losing their lives. You know, connected to this terrorism around the world is fear, and that is the goal of terrorist activity, is to instill fear, crippling fear, immobilizing fear in the lives of good people like you and your kids. And that's what we have to battle with. And I want to talk today, a little bit later on the show, I want to talk to you about fear itself. And how do we, you know, what is fear, and how do we deal with fear in our lives? What does the Bible have to say about fear? What does Jesus have to say about fear? I remember when Pope John Paul II made his first statements in public, he had mentioned the issue of fear, and it's one of the things that he has brought up over and over, as Jesus did in the New Testament. Fear not. Fear not. In fact, it's the most common statement that Jesus made. Fear not. Fear not. And so it's easy to say fear not, but what do we do? You know, how do we respond? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on the Rediscover Hour today. Well, yesterday I was at the funeral of Philando Castile. It was an amazing experience, and a moving experience, as we saw people, black and white, filling the cathedral to pay respects to this one man. And most of the people that I knew that were there didn't have firsthand experience as far as a relationship with Philando Castile, but they were moved emotionally nevertheless. And many people said, I just need to be here. I need to make a statement. I'm saying that this life was important and this has to stop in the Twin Cities. It has to stop around the country. I walked in the side of the cathedral and immediately I was kind of woke up as I was standing next to Senator Amy Klobuchar and then the mayor of St. Paul and Governor Dayton and started to realize that, number one, I was in the wrong place because it was a VIP door, but I kind of snuck in. But I was also struck by how many people felt that this was important enough to break their schedules and come on over to the cathedral and pay respects to this life, this young man and his family. And the music was very moving, and the message was moving, and the message was very, very balanced, and this shouldn't have happened. And we can't just do nothing here. We have to work at peace, and we have to work at justice. It was just a week ago that Archbishop Hebda came on the Rediscover Hour show here and announced that he was going to have a special mass. And that mass was going to focus on peace and is going to focus on justice. And boy, we need peace right now. We need peace, but we also need justice. And the Archbishop taught us a little bit about justice and said that justice is when people get what is due them. And people today are due life. They are due a peaceful life. And what is happening around the country is not justice. In many cases, some of the cases we simply don't know about. We don't know enough information, you know, to really come to a conclusion. But there's certainly the issue of justice here that we need to pray for and we need to work for. And I think that that's what a lot of people had on their minds as they packed the cathedral yesterday. And it was also covered nationally. So it moved me and it moved my wife. My wife and I have been talking about, This whole movement of Black Lives Matter, you know, of course all lives matter. And the Black Lives Matter movement said that when people say white lives matter too, that it takes away from the weight and the thrust of what is happening in the African-American community today. And I'm not African-American, so I can't speak with any authority to that. But I can listen and I can respond with the love of Christ and the actions of Christ when I hear people crying out. And that's what we're challenged to do in our own family. And so we're praying about in our family, what can we do to bring justice and to bring peace to people in the Twin Cities? As a Christian, besides praying and talking about it on the radio, what can we do in a practical way? And we're thinking of some things right now, and maybe those will mature and manifest going forward, and we'll have something to share with you. And if you have ideas, I appreciate you emailing me, you know, or getting your ideas across to us here at the Rediscover Hour, and letting us know what you're thinking. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about vocations. Father David Bloom is with us in studio today, and he's going to be sharing with us some wonderful things and opportunities coming up in the area of vocations. And a little bit later on, I'm going to talk to you about fear. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We've got a lot coming up on this show. Rediscover.
I'm here at Mall of America celebrating 99 days of summer with Ned, the human sound effects machine.
Hello.
Who's here to bring all the fun and excitement to life.
Let's do this.
Start with Nickelodeon Universe.
Whee!
28 thrilling rides and attractions for all ages.
This is fun.
And now soar through the misty clouds at the newest attraction, Flyover America.
Whoosh! I'm flying!
The new Crayola experience is now open with 25 hands-on attractions.
Ooh, coloring.
Name and wrap your own crayon.
Wrapping.
Create colorful melted wax spin art.
Spinning.
And enjoy a live show.
Whoa!
Those aren't really sound effects.
Oh, they get better. Keep going.
At Sea Life Minnesota, get nose-to-nose with sand tiger sharks, brown sharks, and more, over a dozen different species.
Glub, glub, glub!
Explore the new interactive shark discovery exhibit.
Here, sharky, sharky.
There's bowling and games at Skydeck Sports Grill and Lanes.
Strike!
And over 50 restaurants and 520 stores to explore.
Ka-ching!
Stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, the hotel conveniently connected to the mall. The kids will love the indoor swimming pool.
Glub, glub, glub!
You did that one already.
Yeah.
Enjoy all 99 days of summer at Mall of America. Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
Glory be to the Father.
Glory, glory.
His glory give praise.
Glory, glory.
To the Son, our Redeemer.
Something about music that lifts the soul. Praise music that lifts the Lord up. And gives him honor and gives him glory. You know, we're created to praise God. We're created to give him honor and to adore him. And when you do that, something does change in your life, you know? Something changes in your life when you're facing problems and difficulties in life today. Who do you go to? Well, the biblical pattern in difficult times is not to throw pots and pans and run and blame and scream and self-medicate and so forth. But the biblical pattern, when you're facing difficult times, is to praise God. Because when you praise God, you are lifting him up. And there's two really important things about praising God. In the Catechism, in paragraph 236, it mentions two important things. One is theology. The other is the economy of God. The theology of God speaks of the heart of your Heavenly Father, the heart and the life of the Trinity. Do you know your Heavenly Father? If you do, you'll come to trust him. And if you know the economy of God, that's a fancy way to say you know the plan of your Father. You know his deeds. You know his works. And so if you know his heart and you know his works, guess what? You can count on him. And in tough times, you begin to praise him based on those. It's not empty words. It's not just praising some invisible God out there that you know nothing about. You're praising your Father, and it's based on his faithfulness in salvation history. Just a note today, just a word of encouragement today if you're going through tough times. Don't rehearse and don't curse and don't nurse that problem, but praise him and praise him today. Joining us here on the Rediscover Hour today is Father David Bloom. He is the Director of Vocations in the Archdiocese here, has an office down at the seminary. He's got his eyes constantly on making opportunities for people to discern on whether God has called them to the vocation of priesthood or to the religious life. And Father, it's always good to have you back on the show and to talk about vocations.
Well, good morning, Jeff. It's good to be here. It's really great to be back. You know, you were talking about fear. You were also talking about love. And we're reminded that perfect love casts out all fear. Sometimes when people think of a vocation, they think of what God might be calling them to, they enter into fear.
Mm-hmm.
But our God is a God of love.
Yes.
And he knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows our children more than you might know them.
Right.
And he knows what's best for us.
What kind of fear are you talking about? You get a young man that's 19 years old and somebody starts saying, you know, I can see you as a priest. And what kind of fear comes up?
You know, it kind of depends on where his heart is at. If he's not very comfortable with the idea yet, if he hasn't really been embracing that possibility in his heart, there's probably a lot of fear. I won't get married. I won't have a family. I'll live a miserable life.
Right, right.
And there's all kinds of misconceptions that he might have. And but if you spend some time around some joyful priests that love what God has called them to, a lot of that fear is dispelled.
Well, the President of the United States every once in a while gives a State of the Union address. And I'm curious, you're over vocations in the Archdiocese. Do you have a state of the vocations address you can give us today? How are we doing right now, and how long have you been at this?
You know, it was about 1 year ago today that I was here, right about 1 year ago, that I was here on your program for the first time. And it's been a wonderful year. It's been a great year of promoting vocations. I think if there's anything that I've learned over the past year is that we have a ton of young people out there thinking, praying about what does God want for me? And, you know, that's really exciting. That's so exciting. And I believe there's a lot of parents out there who are encouraging their young people, their children, to go before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do you want of me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I see it all the time. Now, it's beautiful because you cannot put the Holy Spirit in a box. And so I have guys coming to my office to talk about a vocation to the priesthood, and they grew up in a family where they rarely go to Mass. The Lord is working in many, many hearts. It's all over the map. But in families that are encouraging their young people, their children, to consider a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, or at least to lay their life before the Lord and to be open to whatever He wants, in those families, there's a lot of young people who are stepping forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask a question that's really the elephant in the middle of the room when it comes to vocations and speaking to young men and to families about the priesthood, and that is some of the things that we've been through in the United States with the scandal, you know,
right,
that has taken place. That's something that I'm sure comes up. And what are you hearing from young men who are saying yes to the priesthood about that? And what are you saying to young men who ask that question?
You know, I do ask them. I ask them, how is this affecting you? And does this slow you down in your desire to do what God might call you to? Does it impede anything on your journey towards a vocation of the priesthood? And I've never had a young man or woman thinking about religious life, I've never had any of them say yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're always saying, no, that's not about me.
Sure.
That's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe if someone were 50 or 60 years old and thinking about being a priest, that might be different. But our young people, most of what we see reported in the news, most of what has happened many years before they were even born.
Mm-hmm. Or you.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some situations that go back 50, 60, 65 years coming forward. And so there's the young people, by and large, are simply not talking about that. They don't see it as something that really speaks to them.
Well, I think that's encouraging to hear. And you could use the same examples with marriage, too. You know, that we have a high rate of divorce in the United States today. And I don't see droves of young people saying, well, I just am not going to get married because I read about this guy that got divorced, you know, over in Shakopee or over in Wisconsin, you know, that type of thing.
That's right. There's also something else, I think. You know, I was talking to a priest who's in his mid-80s, and I asked him one day, I said, what kind of application did you fill out when you entered the seminary many, many years ago? And he kind of smiled and he said, well, he said, my pastor wrote a letter and said that I was a good man, I mm-hmm. came from a good family, the family was active in the parish, and I was in the seminary. When that letter arrived, the rector looked at it, the vocation,
Bring him in.
Now,
my, how times have changed.
Yeah, so we still ask for a letter from the pastor.
Right.
But there's a whole lot more. It's about a three-month process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of steps in this.
Talk to me about just a few of those steps. You know, the average person listening today has a 7-year-old boy and an 11-year-old boy. They're going to be talking about this in the years coming up. What kind of process does a young man go through that would be different than the 80-year-old priest 60 years ago?
Sure. Well, typically, I'll get an email from a young man who says, Dear Father Bloom, I'm not sure, but I think maybe God is calling me to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Could we talk? And so I email him back, and we set up an appointment, and he comes in. And now, at this point, he's probably, in many cases, he's already been to a couple vocations events in the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very encouraging sign, I think. And then, you know, we have a discussion. I kind of assess, you know, is he in a place where he could actually go to the seminary? If that is the case, and if his heart seems right about it, we might meet another time or two. We'll talk some more. And then we'll begin the application process if that's what he wants to do. And as he does, you know, we have references. So we have about 10 references, letters of reference from people of different walks, different parts of his life, a neighbor, a grandparent, a teacher, your pastor, and other people. And so that gives different perspectives on this young man. We're going to be asking for transcripts. If he's been in college, we'll want those, or high school. We're going to have him write an autobiography. That's mm-hmm. going to be about 10 pages, and it's going to be all about his life. Now, if he's an older man, and, you know, say he's about 30 years old, then that autobiography is going to be a little more than 10 pages.
Okay.
But someone coming out of high school, 10 pages.
So there's an awful lot that goes into this, and it's very, very serious.
And
we're going to take a break right now. We're talking with Father David Bloom about vocations, and we've got a special event coming up in the Twin Cities that we want to announce, and it's going to be for young men and for young women who are discerning. But right now on the line joining us is Bishop Andrew Cousins, and yesterday he had the opportunity to attend the funeral of Philando Castile, and he joins us live right now. Bishop, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me.
Yesterday, you went to the funeral of Philando Castile at the cathedral, and we're really curious as to, you know, what your perspective was. It was quite an event, quite a very serious event that brought Protestants and Catholics together, and just very, very unusual.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, in my opinion, it was really a beautiful and a very spiritual event. You know, as I began the ceremony with words of welcome, I simply mentioned that this is the year for mercy in the Catholic Church, the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And so we were grateful to be able to welcome into our church people who felt that they needed mercy, and to be able to pray for mercy for Philando and for his family and for many people in our community, and to ask God's mercy to come and bring greater peace, greater love to our society. So mm-hmm. it was a great gift to be able to do that at the cathedral.
We're talking with Bishop Andrew Cousins about the funeral yesterday, Philando Castile. Bishop, what particularly struck your heart? I know there was a lot of music. There were some messages. What really struck your heart as being very, very powerful?
Well, it was difficult not to be struck by the sort of cry to the Lord that came up from all the people there, that that we would have a society that's more just and that isn't influenced by racism. And, you know, it was a beautiful, hopeful message. It wasn't a politicized message. The pastor who preached, Pastor Daniels from Shiloh Baptist Church, he spoke very clearly about, you know, the gift of law enforcement and how he used examples of how he's been grateful for police and how they protect our law and order in our society. And he spoke very clearly that, you know, breaking the law is against God's law, and that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also just expressed the pain that many people feel around the issue of race and the fact that, from his perspective, it seems another young black man has died, and that black man seemed to be a law-abiding citizen.
Sure.
And that's a painful thing for a lot of people. But it was a beautiful message of hope. You know, at one point they sang a song, God's going to turn this around.
Oh.
And his message was very much on this idea that God's the only one who can bring about the peace that we all long for in our society, and And so we believe God's going to turn this around. And I just thought of all the struggles in our country and all the problems that we have as they were singing that, and I thought, that's a beautiful message.
Mm-hmm.
Another song that the Sounds of Blackness sang, which was an Emmy Award-winning group, they sang a song just that we are royalty. And it just struck me as they were singing this, a lot of African-American people, obviously, amongst others, singing we are royalty. I just thought of how we're all sons and daughters of God, and how important it is that we recognize our dignity before God, and that all of us, because we're sons and daughters of God, are sons of a king, you know, sons and daughters of a king. And so we're royalty in that sense. And therefore we all have dignity because of that, and we all deserve to be treated with that.
Well, that's what struck me too, Bishop, as I walked around, prior to the actual ceremony, was that all these people gathered around for one man, for this one man that many of them didn't know. What does that say to you about the value of one life?
Yeah, the pastor spoke about this as well, and he basically said, you know, we know that God works in every situation, and that God can bring about good through tragic and difficult situations. And so that was really his prayer about Philando and the whole situation, is that God would bring about good through it. And at the end, you know, he was, as I said, he didn't politicize the event. This was not an event against, you know, in favor of anarchy or against police. He was very much kept the event focused on God. And at the end, he just said something really beautiful to everybody. The whole place got really quiet after he had been sort of singing and preaching and lots of noise. You know, at one point he turned to us and he said, I'm sorry, Bishop and Rector, but the Baptists are going to take over this place. You know? And he was just preaching in his own style, which was beautiful. And then, but at the end of it, he just got real quiet and he said, look, everybody, we got to come together or we're not going to make it.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
That's a message that all of us can get behind.
That is so true. His mother chose the cathedral, and a lot of people ask the question, was Philando a Catholic, and why the cathedral?
You know, Philando was not a Catholic, they chose the cathedral not just because of the size. In fact, the Baptist minister said, we have churches just as big as the cathedral in terms of seating, but we chose it because it's the church of the city, and we wanted this funeral to be at the heart of the city.
Wow.
And this is, in a certain way, the house of God for the city, is what they said.
Yeah.
And that's a great honor to the people who built the cathedral. And we remember John Ireland himself, you know, he said when he built the cathedral, he said, no one, when coming into this cathedral, shouldn't think of it as their own.
Mm. That's a beautiful message. I know your time is tight today. You're a teacher in the Archdiocese, and any parting words for our audience today on the heels of this event that, as Catholics, that we should keep in mind, and how do we work towards justice and peace?
Well, the main thing we have to do is keep praying. We also, I think, have to recognize in these difficult circumstances the experience that people have on both sides of these issues, and we have to work to try to bring peace, which is always going to be based in those gospel values of reverence for every human life, and reverence for justice, and so we want to continue to pray that that God will bring peace, especially to those people who might feel for various reasons that their rights are denied.
Mm-hmm.
In that, we understand these situations are complex, and without making any judgments about what happened in the particular situation, we can say we pray for peace and for the dignity of each human person.
That's a beautiful message. Your calendar is changing a little bit here in the next week or so, and you're going to another continent too. How can we pray for you? You're going to World Youth Day.
Yeah, I'll be with a more than 200 young people from the Archdiocese going to World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland. Several different groups from many different parishes are going, and so we're very excited about the opportunity to encounter Pope Francis. So pray especially for the young people that the Lord would reveal his love for them and his plan for their lives.
We certainly will. And Bishop, if you could just give our listening audience a blessing today in the midst of all that's happening in France and around the world, it'd be nice to have that blessing.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, for joining us and calling in.
All right. God bless you.
That's Bishop Andrew Cousins joining us kind of impromptu there. Just I think he was driving in the car and just wanted to share with us a little bit about the funeral yesterday of Philando Castile. And coming up, World Youth Day. That's a good reminder, is that over a couple hundred of our young people are going to be going to Krakow, Poland for World Youth Day with the Holy Father. Of course, this is something that St. John Paul II started, and it's very powerful. A lot of lives are changed. A lot of ministries are birthed, actually, during this concentrated time together with leaders around the country. Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Cousins will be going. Pray for them. That's coming up. That's coming up. And I know that Father David Bloom, who joins us in studio right now, we're talking about vocations. You're familiar with this event coming up, World Youth Day.
Yes, I'll be going with Maternity of Mary in St. Paul.
Oh, you will?
Yep. So
everybody's going to be gone here.
That's right. We'll be leaving next Wednesday.
Now, how many are you bringing?
There will be 30 of us all together.
Okay. That is fantastic. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about vocations, and I'm going to mention a little bit about fear today and how to deal with that. But you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We got so much more.
Computers talk a different language, usually over the heads of the average person. But this is one message you should understand, because it's a message that can help you understand what's going on in your broken or misbehaving computer, laptop, or tablet. Computer Docs in the Twin Cities can fix, update, and clean computers, usually quickly and affordably. Most computer issues can be fixed in a few days. A problem with your business or personal computer is never pleasant and usually occurs at the worst possible time. But Computer Docs at 763-425-0275 should be your first call for a cost-conscious fix. Computer Docs will work on all brands and all types of issues, from malware to lost data. Computer Docs, 763-425-0275 or relevantradio.com, keyword computer. Cost-effective and quick solutions for misbehaving computers. 763-425-0275.
I think of Paul and Silas in the prison yard. I hear their song of freedom rising to the stars. And when it says, go march.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Life without Jesus Christ is miserable. But life with Jesus is hopeful, purposeful, meaningful. It is just wonderful to be able to walk with Jesus. That's what life is all about. By the way, welcome to the show. And if you just joined us, just got in your car, moments ago, Bishop Andrew Cousins joined us to talk about his thoughts and kind of his reflection on the Philando Castile funeral yesterday at the cathedral. If you missed that, go to Relevant Radio and listen to the rebroadcast. You can go to the archspm.org website and look for the Rediscover Hour, and that will be posted shortly after the show, and you can share it with your friends. Prior to Bishop Cousins joining us to talk about the funeral and also World Youth Day coming up, we were talking with Father David Bloom. He's the director of vocations here in the Archdiocese, and he was talking about the process that a young man goes through to make application. Then we're going to talk about a special event coming up. Welcome back, Father.
All right. And so we were talking about references. Transcripts are part of the process. There's an extensive application and also a very extensive interview where we go through all of this. Mm-hmm. This young man writes an autobiography about his whole life. We really want to get a good idea of who it is that we're thinking about entering the seminary. And so there's a psychological evaluation, and you know, we look at everything. And so it's a very thorough process, very different than it would have been many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine a psychological review is very revealing, you know. It reveals something you might be dealing with, you know, in your own life.
That's right. And so there's a whole lot of things that come to the surface, and there's nothing to fear about that.
Yeah.
The Lord is there. We want to understand, are there any certain things that we need to help this person with? Is there something that this man needs that we can do for him to make him more effective as a seminarian and possibly eventually one day as a priest?
Well, on behalf of the laity in the Archdiocese here, as I'm a layman. My buddy Paul Sadek's a layman here. We want to thank you for what you do, you know, in the Archdiocese, and that you're the point man here in helping men and women discover their vocations. A lot of on-ramps to this. There could be retreats. There could be broadcast a book or whatever it might be, a dinner with a priest. But what's coming up in the Archdiocese is a major on-ramp. It gives people the opportunity to discern. Talk to us about what's going to be taking place coming up August 20th.
All right. We have Totus Tuus Vocation Day for young men and women ages 12 to 17. And this is going to be held at the St. Paul Seminary. We're going to start with Mass at 9 a.m. And we're going to, you know, sign in. We'll be at 8:30. That'll open at 8:30. Mass will begin at 9. And after Mass, we're going to have our young people go to breakout sessions that will last until 2:30 p.m. And so the men are going to they're going to focus on sports, on vocation testimonies by college seminarians. There's going to be food, prayer, more food, more prayer.
More food.
That's right. And an opportunity to really see what the seminary looks like from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
For the women, the theme for the day will be Blessed Are the Merciful. And for them, there's going to be talks by religious sisters. There's going to be small group discussions. There'll be music. There'll be food. There'll be more music and prayer. See, the guys get more food. The women get more music.
You put food in their belly, they hear God a little more clearly.
Yes, especially the guys. And so now we also have something for parents. Mm-hmm. We encourage parents, don't just drop off the kids. Come on in. Go to Mass at 9 o'clock. And after Mass, we're going to have a parent information session, and that'll last until 10:45.
What kind of stuff do you cover there?
Well, we're going to have parents of priests and sisters. And just they're going to say a little bit about their own experience of their son or daughter coming to them and saying, Dad, Mom, I think God is calling me to this vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on inside them and how they handled that and how they approached that and how they encouraged it and blessed it. And what life is like today with a priest in the family or a sister in the family.
So let's back up just for a little bit, just for a moment here. Totus Tuus, what does that mean?
Well, it's totally yours, mm-hmm. totally yours. And so as I think many people are very familiar, that was John Paul's model. He totally yours to Christ through Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in this really is a springboard from our Totus Tuus program, which is also a wonderful program that, in a certain way, lifts up vocations. And so that's a youth program that we have teams of young people going into parishes for a full week and teaching young people, teaching them about the faith. It's catechetical, it's Marian, it's strong, it's solid, it's fun.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because some people might confuse that with this one day event. And what are the times? It's August 20th. It's at the seminary. What times?
Right. We start with sign in at 8:30, Mass at 9, and then the day concludes at 2:30.
So you can walk off the street right into this and sign up.
Well,
do you want people ahead of time?
You could. We really prefer that you register.
Okay.
And if you register before August 1st, you get a free t-shirt. And I can see by the look on your face, Jeff, that you're going to register. You want that t-shirt.
I'm going to be there twice. I'm a large and extra large because they shrink, and I don't know which one's going to actually work.
Yeah.
So, no, you know what? That's a good thing. You know, that people are going to get that shirt. They're going to come. But I want to make it clear, and that is that if you sign up and you come August 20th, that doesn't mean you're signing up yet to become a priest or to become religious.
No. This is for ages 12 to 17. And you got to finish high school before you can go into college seminary. And I would like to direct people to our website. That is 10,000vocations.org. That is 10,000vocations.org. So we have all the information there under the events tab.
10,000vocations.org. We are known as the state of 10,000 lakes, even though there's about 16,000 lakes in the Twin Cities. Wouldn't it be nice to have 10,000 vocations?
You know, I was thinking about the number of priests in the United States and the number that are coming up towards retirement.
Mm-hmm.
We actually need 10,000 more.
We do.
To replace those that are, you know, moving towards retirement. So it's not an unrealistic reality. We need many, many priests.
Well, Father, I'm going to ask you to pray in just a moment, but if you're in the car right now, you're coming home from work, you know, maybe you worked all night, or maybe you're on your way to the office or in your middle of your work day and you have to meet somebody, you know, a little bit later on for coffee to talk about some things, and you have a son or a daughter that you've wondered, do they have a vocation, a religious life or priesthood? And maybe you have grandchildren, you've wondered about that. This could be a great opportunity for you, you know, to go to 10,000vocations.com
or .org,
it's .org, 10,000vocations.org, and get the information. You just never know what can happen with the suggestion of a grandfather, a grandmother, a parent. If you don't make that suggestion, who will? And I think it's something that you could do. And Father, right at this moment, we're in radio, we're with our friends in the car, and in business, at home. Let's just take a moment right now and pray. Let's pray for this Totus Tuus event that is going to take place August 20th. Let's pray for the listeners' families and extended families and friends that God would speak to hearts and that people would respond. Should we do that before we move on?
Absolutely.
Want to lead us?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit upon us. Yes. As a people, Lord, help us, Lord, to embrace your love. We know it casts out all fear. Lord, touch the hearts of many young men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Touch the hearts of parents as well, that they would have your wisdom and guidance to lead and guide their children into whatever vocation you are leading them towards. Lord, we ask you to bless this Totus Tuus Vocation Day for young men and women. We ask you, Lord, to be present and to lead us and guide us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You know, when we talk about these things, radio is a very intimate medium. We're with our friends, and it's a great time to pray. And there's power in prayer, especially when we're talking about vocations. Before we move on to talk about a little bit about fear today, Father, anything else you want to say about vocations and the Totus Tuus event, August 20th?
Well, I think it's going to be a very enjoyable day for our young people. And I guess I'd just like to end with that, you know, the faith is exciting. When it's presented well, it's exciting. And so we're going to present a material on vocations to the priesthood and also to religious life, and ask God to bless and lead us and guide us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I wanted to turn our direction toward this subject of fear for just a moment, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit, Father, about fear, not just in relation to vocations, obviously, but fear in general. A lot of people are going through fear in their life right now and trying to deal with that. And I'm reminded, you know, of what Mark Twain once said. He said, "I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened." And that really speaks to a lot of us, where we get so caught up in fear about money, fear about our health, fear about our teenagers, our marriage, what's happening in the world in terms of terrorism. But what's our posture as Christians? How do we walk in the midst of a world that is faced with fear and paralyzed by fear? So we're going to talk about that when we return. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away.
Pope Francis has invited the faithful to turn to comedy in the Year of Mercy. For a limited time, Wyoming Catholic College is offering a free online opportunity to discover Dante in the Year of Mercy.
As Dante and Virgil descend to increasingly lower levels of hell, we feel the thermometer dropping, both in terms of the ice which holds the souls imprisoned, but also in terms of the spiritual coldness of the individual souls.
Dr. Jason Baxter, Assistant Professor of Humanities at Wyoming Catholic College, presents Dante in the Year of Mercy, exploring a 700-year-old comedy with a special urgency in our modern world. Wyoming Catholic College offers this online series at no cost for a limited time. Visit wyomingcatholic.org/Dante to begin your very own exploration of Dante in the Year of Mercy. wyomingcatholic.org/Dante, Wyoming Catholic College. Teaching students to think, to be virtuous, and to lead.
Come along, I'll walk you through the world. And we will sing a different song, yeah.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Joining us is Father David Bloom. He's the Vocations Director. We have been talking about vocations earlier on in the broadcast. Bishop Andrew Cousins joined us to talk about his thoughts and insights concerning the funeral yesterday of Philando Castile at the cathedral. You can go and listen to this rebroadcast by going to archspm.org, the Rediscover Hour. Share it with your friends. Some very powerful insights, and he was moved. The bishop was moved in that funeral yesterday. He gives the recap of that. And we've also been talking about vocations, and if you want to know more information about the big event coming up, that's coming up on August 20th at the seminary. It's Totus Tuus. It's a day of discernment, at least the beginning of discernment to become a religious or a priest. You can go to 10,000vocations.org to get more information about that. Hey, by the way, before we talk about fear in these last minutes of the show, I do want to remind you that the Catechetical Institute this fall, enrollment is still open, and you can find out more about that at cistudent.com. This is going to be a great two-year experience. The class is called the Class of Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And if you want to know more information about that, still some openings, it is cistudent.com. There was a little boy, Father. He was afraid of the thunderstorms at night. Maybe you were that way when you were a kid. And I was afraid of those thunderstorms at night. Little boy was afraid of the thunderstorms, and he asked his mother to sleep in his bed to keep him company. And the mother replied, "I can't do that, son. I need to sleep with Daddy." And the little boy replied, "That big sissy." Yeah. You know, kids get afraid of thunderstorms. Adults are afraid of a lot of things in their life. And as a priest, I'm sure that people come to you a lot with, things that are going on in their life. They're really based in fear, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Fear can be paralyzing. And oftentimes people are fearing the unknown. Sometimes it's not the things we know of, it's the things we don't. And
yeah.
And in one's mind, a person can exaggerate what's really going on in a certain circumstance. So fear of the unknown can be very paralyzing.
Well, that was the quote we left on the other side of the break by Mark Twain. I love that quote. I love it. And if I say I love it and you just got in your car, you're going to say, well, tell it again. And I love it. He says, "I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which have actually happened." And that is fear.
Don't you think? Right.
That's fear. You know, it's interesting in the scripture, out of 125 Christ-initiated imperatives, 21 of them deal with fear. So this must be something that he knew that we were going to deal with in our lives. I think that sometimes fear is broadcasting into the future things that may or may not take place. But let's talk in the few minutes that we have left about the solution to fear in our life, which is really based in trusting Jesus with our life, isn't it, Father?
It is. And you know, you touched down on John Paul II and how he would continually say, be not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid. It would be fascinating to go through all of his talks and see how often he said that phrase. He knew how important it was. And so it's faith that really replaces fear.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember, too, you know, you're driving down the highway today and maybe you're dealing with fear in your life. It might be a doctor's report that is going to come back later today or on Monday. And that is that you are not alone. You are not alone. And that Jesus is with you. You're part of the body of Christ. And I love what John said in one of his epistles. He said, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And God loves you, and you're called to walk in love. And that perfect love will cast out fear. I love that. It's very, very powerful. I think one of these days what we're going to do, Father, is we're going to take a whole show and talk about fear and hit that head on for the whole hour. But let me give you just a couple of scriptures before you go today. One is this, is that the famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he loves you. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. And God wants you to trust in him today in prayer. So in the time that we have here, I would say this, that if you're struggling with fear in your life, find some time today to be alone with Jesus. Maybe it's a prayer chapel on the way home from work, and just go and kneel down and say, Lord, I know I'm not alone, and I cast this anxiety upon you because I know that you care for me. I know you care for me. Well, we'll cover that more in a future show. But Father, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
And I pray that vocations will bloom. pardon the pun, Father Bloom. Paul's looking at me like, oh, Jeff,
please.
All right, well, do you have something better to share with us?
Well, better than that pun, yes. Twin Cities St. Paul Street Evangelization is hitting the road. And you can join them at the 2016 Hopkins Raspberry Festival in Hopkins, Minnesota, Saturday, July 16th, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., Sunday the 17th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the front lawn of St. Gabriel the Archangel Catholic Church. Sign up for a 60 to 90 minute visit shift to spread the good news of the gospel and share your Catholic faith. Find out more. Visit streetevangelization.com/Minnetonka.
You are invited to the 34th Annual Country Festival at St. Mary of Częstochowa in Delano this Sunday, July 17th. The day will include games, refreshments, and live music. Holy Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. with a pork chop and roast beef dinner served from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. For more information, contact the pastor, Father Joseph, at 952-446-1054, extension 22. Or you can email him at pastorboniface@mediacombb.net.
MediacombB.net.
Is that what it is? Yeah. MediacombB.net. What would I do without you?
And congratulations on saying Częstochowa properly. Father Joseph Gillespie invites you to St. Albert the Great Parish Sunday, July 17th, 1 p.m. for their summer jazz concert featuring the versatile Connie Evingson and John Weber, host of NPR's Piano Jazz with John Weber. Cost $15 at the door. Find out more. Visit stalberthegreat.org.
Northeast Theology at the Pub is an evangelization initiative for all and is brought to you through Holy Cross Catholic Church. Theology at the Pub will bring theology to the bar this Thursday, the 21st, at Stanley's in Northeast Minneapolis. The theme will be transgenderism in politics and culture. How do we respond? With guest Jason Adkins. He's the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. For more information, visit ourholycross.org.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to Theology on Tap, presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul, Wednesday, July 20th. Social hours, 6:30 to 7:30. Speaker begins at 7:30 p.m. This Wednesday, come here, Kelly Walquist, founder of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, and the assistant director of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Kelly will speak on our supreme role in the new evangelization. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
And remember, this fall, the Catechetical Institute, cistudent.com, you can still sign up. Hey, Nativity Grandparents Apostolate, you're celebrating your 5th anniversary in the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne. Saints. All grandparents are invited to an event of prayer, enrichment, discussion, and fellowship, highlighted by a presentation titled The Church Saved Me by Mrs. Mary McClure, a teacher, mother, and grandmother. The event takes place at Steiner Hall at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul on Tuesday, July 26th at 8:45 a.m. You can find out more information at 651-696-5401.
And that kind of dovetails into our topic next week on the Rediscover Hour.
It does. Next on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from Bishop Cousins' mother, Judy Cousins. Judy will be on the air along with Crystal Crocker and Kim Doyle to share about the grandparenting ministry in the Archdiocese and the upcoming Gift of Being Grand Catholic Grandparents Conference. That's coming up. We're going to talk more about that next time on the Rediscover Hour. Hey, I want to encourage you as we get ready to leave today to entrust your life to Jesus. Get to know your Heavenly Father. You can go through anything today. God wants to use you to change the world. Join us again next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.